Good evening. I'm calling to order the Grover Beach City Council meeting for Monday, April 1st, 2013. It is 6:30 p.m. and I would like everybody to stand and observe a moment of silence. And we will have roll call now. A city clerk.
Here.
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 I'm here too. And we have some closed session announcements from our last meeting on Monday, March 18th. City attorney.
Thank you, Honorable Mayor, Council members. On Monday, March 18th, City Council met in closed session on two items. First one being the Santa Maria Valley litigation, existing case, and the other one was being negotiation with labor, direction to labor negotiators on all employee groups. Council reconvened to open session, and there were no reportable actions taken in closed session.
Thank you very much. We'll be doing our agenda review now, and this is the time where the City Council can review the order of business to be conducted and receive requests for or make announcements regarding any changes in the order of the day. Are there any changes from the council?
I have none.
And I believe we do. Yes, City Manager.
Madam Mayor, yes. I would like to change the title and item description for item number 6 under regular business. It should read the letter to the Board of Directors, Napomo Community Service District, and the item description should say the City Council will consider sending a letter to the Board of Directors in support of the Napomo Supplemental Water Supply Project, et cetera.
Thank you. And then I believe we also, our public hearing number 2, I will open that for public hearing, but we are going to continue that hearing at a later date, I believe, our next meeting on April 15th.
Correct. That's
okay.
Staff's recommendation.
All right. Any other changes? Okay, then I need to have a motion for that.
I'll make that motion that we accept the agenda as presented with the modification as noted to item 6.
I'll go ahead and second that.
So we have a motion and a second, and I believe that's a roll call. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, carried unanimously. We'll proceed as agreed. The next thing on our calendar is actually our ceremonial calendar. And we have a proclamation declaring April is Autism Awareness Month, and this is something very dear to my heart because my family has some autism issues. So I'm going to go ahead and read this one tonight, and then we'll ask Shauna Whitfield, who's the chair of the Board of Directors of the Central Coast Autism Spectrum Center, to come up and say a few words. Whereas autism is a complex neurobiological disorder that typically lasts through ASDs, and their families face tremendous and overwhelming challenges in accessing and navigating the complex programs and services for these disorders. And whereas individuals with ASDs are valuable and talented citizens, and whereas the Central Coast Autism Spectrum Center will celebrate Autism Awareness Month at the Walk for Autism and Autism Awareness Fair on April 28th, 2013 in Mission Plaza, both events help to increase and develop knowledge regarding autism and are of paramount importance in creating an empathetic and compassionate citizenry. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the City Council of the City of Grover Beach does hereby proclaim April 2013 as Autism Awareness Month, recognizes and commends the talents, abilities, and contributions of the individuals in our community diagnosed with ASDs and their parents, relatives, and professionals that provide value services. And in witness thereof, as the Mayor of City of Grover Beach, I have set hereunto my hand and caused the seal of the City of Grover Beach to be affixed this first day of April 2013. And if you could come forward, we'll have a photo op.
Appreciate this. We
been having these proclamations throughout the county for a few years now, and they're always very special. Every day is Autism Awareness Month in my home, and the people that I come into contact with, everyone is affected by autism, by some extended branch at the very least. My son is now 8 years old, but when he was 2 and first diagnosed, he was nonverbal and didn't know how to learn, and it was services in this county that put him where he is today, which is an incredible little child. So we taught him, and now he's the one teaching us truly. But that's the end of it, which it's never the end of it, but now I can hear his voice, and I couldn't before, and it took a tremendous financial investment, emotional investment, and we had to get him to the right people. And so we're very grateful to people who make it their life's work to help people with autism and their families.
And thank you for sharing that. I do understand. And I have to say that it takes a mother with special insight to pick those things up, and you obviously are that. And it also takes a special insight in order to help children who have different abilities be who they most can be. So thank you very much for that. I'm going to move now to the next public hearing. And this is the one that, public communications, excuse me. I got off track here, thank you. This one is where any member of the public may address the council for a period not to exceed 3 minutes total on any item of interest within the jurisdiction of the council. The council will listen to all communications. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, the council cannot act on items that are not on the agenda. And this will be your opportunity to come forward if there's something that's not on tonight. And if there's something on later, then we would love to hear from you later in the meeting. And if you could please give us your name and your city of residence if you do come forward. Is there anyone who'd like to come forward tonight? I'll open the public hearing. Come on up, Beatty.
Edie Hatton here. First of all, I come with put a little churching into it. I want to thank everybody that is aware of all of our community and members of the businesses here in Grover Beach who are really now trying to get together a group of merchants and community. You mentioned it last time at the meeting, so I won't take too much time. There is a group of people that have been working in this community for a very long time trying to bring awareness to Grover Beach. And a couple of the people are here with me today. We have started out a long time ago, many, many years ago, where the train station was there. But, you know, usually you find me cleaning the streets. And I don't want to walk the streets too much longer. People are going to start talking about me. But I'm really happy, you know, and you were at the second meeting, actually. First meeting we had a few people because we invited some people from the members of the merchants community here and community members. And we held that at Little Bits. And Jenna and Jason, who own the little shop there, the coffee shop, which all of you please go there and have some breakfast. They're great. Mm-hmm. The first one we had, El Taco de Mexico, when I was still there. Prior to that, I had sent out a lot of flyers, and I gave you one, Mr. Marshall.
You did, thank you.
You know who's over there. Just see what they can do, because eventually, you know, there's going to be other things that we had already planned to do in this community. Sue, who has the party shop, had planned with the rest of us to have something come to you guys and then have something down the street here to get some money to put some flowers on the street, because we need the money. We're entertainers. We can make money. I can start a business with $120, and you all know that, and make it work. So it only takes me, 3 days or so, and I get the people together. And so that's just wonderful for me. You know, you can feel it. I get excited. We don't have anything to do with council because you're very busy doing what you have to do. This chamber is no longer. I'm the last honorary member of the Grover Beach Chamber of Commerce, and I'm proud to say that's who I am because I fight for that. Joey, who's back there, owns Trey Jolie, and her and I were going to be members of the chamber, but I got to get in, and she got to go with They put her in with a
Edie, friend. We've got your 3 minutes are up, and I'm just going to ask you, could you, I'm sorry, but I wanted to ask you if you could tell us where you meet and when you're meeting so
the
that people can come.
The next meeting will be at the Exploration Station, and Joey was going to say something, so I was going to
Joey can have 3 minutes. Come on up.
Minutes, or she can meet me.
Okay.
Before the music
Did
starts.
You tell us what your name is and your town of residence?
Edie Hatton, and I live at 1168.
Thank you.
As you all come see me, because I clean that all up.
Okay.
All right. So
we got,
I would like to invite you, and also I want to know I'm going overboard here, but I've done a lot of work here, you guys. Joey, I'm taking you 3 minutes. Okay?
No, I can't do it that way, but
That's
Joey
right.
can come up.
I would like to give you guys what is happening out in Grand Avenue, and I want to know, may I approach the building?
Yeah, sure. But this is it.
That's fine.
Now Joey can come up, because I have to be fair to everybody.
This is fine. I don't know which one of you guys will be doing something about that, but one of us has to clean it up.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. And I have to say that I'm really excited to have two business organizations now that have grown up in Grover Beach, and I think we're going to have some wonderful flowers and some
yes.
cleaning up and lots of stuff. So
and
that's really good news.
No, we don't
want rodents.
May I ask a question before you go? It's at Exploration Station, but when would that be?
Well, we're going to have it. Usually it's going to be at...
My name's Kelly. I actually live in Atascadero, but what I'm doing is part of Five Cities, and I'm here to promote and support the V-Day Five Cities organization. We're performing the Vagina Monologues this year April 5th, 6th, and 13th, and a Memory, a Monologue, a Rant, and a Prayer on the 12th. Sorry, you know, they say public speaking is the biggest fear out there, sorry. So let's see, at the Grover Beach Community Center at 1230 Trueville Avenue, performances all start at 7 p.m., and everything is a fundraiser event for SARP, also known as the Sexual Assault Recovery and Prevention Center. In the audience with me, we have some of the members of the cast. And stand up. because we also have Councilman Lee is also a part of MMRP, which is a memory, a monologue, a rant, and a prayer. So also at 2 p.m. on April 6th is a special event called Raise Your Cup for Change, an afternoon tea fundraiser, where Mayor Peterson will be a featured speaker.
Mm-hmm.
Tickets are available for the shows for $10 each. You can either call 805-709-0641. We have flyers back here also. It also has our website on there, which is vday5cities.org. Like I said, we've got the flyers. We look forward to seeing all of you at one or more of the events. That would be great. So thank you.
Thank you very much. You did a great job.
Thank you.
Because it closes at 5 o'clock. There's no place to park. I've talked about that several times, handicap parking. Wait till you people get old, and wait till you get run over by a pickup, a Dodge, Chrysler, and lay on your deathbed. But I fell into the alley where the truck unloaded 2 feet down. A 14-year-old kid picked me up, got me back on my feet. So tonight, constructive criticism never hurt anybody. I've said that 1,000 times. And when you took office, you said for us to come down and give our input. I have done that every meeting. And if you're the mayor, then why don't you do something about the charge, overcharge of water? I've asked. But you know, this is a dysfunctional town. I've been here 55 years. I've watched it grow from county to down. And that is a shame. That's disgraceful. That's not even smart business. Something has to be done. Either recall or take those two men over there and tell them, just like Guadalupe, they're paying $69,000 a year. They go down to $89,000, or like Merle Williams said, there's a door. Here's your paycheck. It's time to take and do something. If you're going to be a mayor, then do it. Act like one. You don't have the business talent. You're not qualified allowing them to overcharge. I've proved it. I've told you about it, and you do nothing. I've told you to go down to the water department and see the meters read. check it out. He called me last Saturday morning. We talked about this. But nothing is done because they are covered up. They are the mafia. They are the people that run the store, not you. And it's time to change. If we're going to have a new council, then you get a hold of them. And you take a hold and do it. Not them. They are not the mayor. They are not the council.
Thank you, Mr. Wysong.
My English good enough to understand that?
It was very clear. We got the message. Thank you.
I'm going to come to the day I die.
Is there anybody else who'd like to make any comments? Okay, hearing none, we'll move on to the next topic. I did want to say that in fairness to former Mayor Scholes and to myself, I don't make the decisions, and Mayor Scholes didn't make the decisions. The decisions are made by a council of five people by majority vote. So if you're not happy with things, it's not just one of us, it's all of us, or at least three of us. So I want to make sure people understand the process there. The other thing I wanted to do before we go into public communications, sorry, into the public hearings, and I don't remember if I closed the public comment, we'll do that now, is explain to you how the public hearings work and why we do them the way we do them. There's a reason for this convoluted order of things, and our goal is, as Mr. Wysong said, to hear from the public. And that's why if you want to come and rant or you want to come and tell us what you're not happy with, I want to hear it. We need to hear it because we can't provide a service for you if we don't know what you're thinking. We'd like to hear it when you like us too. So what we do is we open the public comment at the beginning of the meetings, and then after that we go into our public hearings. And the way we work those so that everybody has an opportunity to be heard before we make a decision is that we will first, in most cases, have a staff report. After the staff has made their report, then we will ask the questions that we have. Once we're finished with questions, then we'll ask the public to come forward, give us their questions, well, not necessarily questions, but let us know. Hey, I'm going to open public comments so we can hear from you. And if you want to come back in a couple of weeks, that's okay too. So we'll open public comment. Is there anybody who'd like to comment on our goals? Okay, hearing none then. We'll bring it back to the council. And now we need a...
Mayor, my recommendation that if it is the council's intent to continue the public mm-hmm. hearing to the next meeting, that it's done so by motion and to a specific date, which would be in this case April 15th at 6:30 in this locale.
Great. Okay.
And just for clarification, we would actually wouldn't be closing the public
hearing. It's continuing. The public hearing
will be
continuing
it.
That day.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'll move for staff's recommendation.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second, and we have a voice vote on this one. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, that's unanimous. Then we will keep public comment open, and we'll continue it.
And for the record, if I may, Mayor, to the members mm-hmm. of the public and those listening, by this action, the council did continue the public hearing on this item to the next council meeting. There will not be another public hearing notice published on this item.
Okay, great then. Thank you. The next item on our agenda is the consent agenda, and this agenda is the routine items listed for consideration as a group. The recommendations are noted in parentheses on the agenda, and members of the audience may speak to any of the items listed on the consent agenda. Any council member, city attorney, city manager can request that an item be withdrawn from the consent agenda to allow for full discussion. Items withdrawn will be... move to the end of the items previously scheduled on the regular business schedule. Was there anybody who wanted to pull any of these items? Anybody on the council? No? Okay. And in that case, then, do we open it for pub? We will open it. We don't have to open it, and we don't generally unless something is pulled. Okay. All right. Okay. I'm going to open it anyway just in case there's anything here that people have a concern about, and then we'll bring it back. Is there anyone from the public who wanted to comment on any of these three consent agenda items? Okay, hearing none, then we'll bring it back to the council for a motion.
I'll make a motion that we accept the consent agenda items as presented.
I'll second that.
So we have a motion and a second, and it looks like these can all be approved by a voice vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Hearing none, we have a unanimous...
consider and authorize a letter to the NAPOMO, the Board of Directors for the NAPOMO Community Services District in support of their efforts to gain supplemental water. By way of discussion, approximately two-thirds of the city's fresh water supply comes from the Santa Maria groundwater basin. It's quite an extensive groundwater basin, as you can see from the report. It covers just about 300 square miles, and it extends from Pismo Beach down to the city of Santa Maria. For nearly 30 years, it should be noted, the cities of Grover Beach, Arroyo Grande, Pismo Beach, and the Oceano Community Services District have intentionally limited their pumping from the groundwater basin so as to not exceed safe yield. I'm pleased to tell you that along with us tonight is the city's engineer for water, Jim Gehring, and he was instrumental in developing the agreement that ensures that we are living by that pumping program. In 2002, the city, along with the cities of Arroyo Grande, Pismo Beach, and Oceano Community Services District, became a party to the Santa Maria Valley litigation. In 2008, the city became a party to a settlement agreement along with the rest of our partners in the northern management area, and also the Napomo community management area was also made a party to that suit. Essentially what, that settlement requires is ongoing monitoring of the water basin, and essentially we're required to report as to the results of that ongoing water basin and what's happening within the basin, and that becomes a part of an annual report that you see every year. There has been noted a continuing decline in the groundwater surface elevations, and in reference to the Napomo area, the courts added an additional requirement to the settlement agreement. The Napomo Community Services District must purchase and deliver up to 2,500, so this is historical. Right now, the Napomo Community Services District, if you remember, went through a major issue last year in trying to bring up a significant amount of supplemental water from Santa Maria. That effort resulted in a vote, and the voters denied the ability to move forward with that particular alternative. But since that time, the Napomo Community Services District has put together a project that would bring 650 to 690 acre feet into the Napomo area on an annual basis. While the letter is focused on supporting the bringing in of any supplemental water, the letter also goes on record as continuing to note the city's concern for the need to replenish the groundwater resources. I will conclude my staff report at this point. You obviously have the ability to draft the letter and approve the draft letter and authorize the mayor to execute the letter on behalf of the city. You could also provide staff with additional direction. I should note that the city of Arroyo Grande and I believe the Oceano Community Services District have already authorized a similar letter to move forward, and I anticipate that the same will be true of Pismo Beach. If you have any specific questions because of the technical nature, Engineer Jim Gehring is here to provide those answers for you.
Thank you, City Manager. Are there questions from the council to my left?
I think I'll hold off for just now. Thank you.
Okay.
I have two. So, sorry. So this project, if I understand correctly, the intertie project, I guess, between Santa Maria and NCSD is going to provide 650 acre feet. Is there a plan moving forward for the remainder of the 2,500 acre feet, or is that... discussed area-wide?
That would be a question. I understand that we have a representative here from the NCSD who might be able to address that question.
Okay, shall we? Why don't you come forward now, and that way we can...
A funding vote, a property tax measure to raise the capital and build the project all in one phase. So we've gone back to the drawing board. We've broken the project into three phases. Our first phase, we're scheduled to award that construction contract at the end of April and be delivering water by the fall of 2014. And that phase is designed to deliver at least 640 acre feet a year. And we're working with the city right now to talk about City of Santa Maria, that is, of course, a revised delivery schedule, and to talk about a flow regime change that would allow us to bring up to 800 acre feet of water by our design. And we think we could, you know, we're going to get real close to 1,000 is what we're pushing for. The city wants to see us by that right from the start, and that's what we want to achieve, to show the court and the rest of the purveyors on the basin that the district is very serious about this project and advancing it to its full 3,000 acre foot capacity at design.
Thank you. Okay. Did that answer?
It answered my first question. Okay. And my second question is, and I'm sure there's a lot more historical background that I'm not aware of, but is Napomo, is there only water service at the moment, groundwater? And I know most of, like, us as the northern member of the Northern Cities has Lopez plus groundwater. So is...
Yes. Yes, it is. Groundwater is the sole source of supply for the entire Napomo Mesa.
Okay.
And so that the Napomo Mesa management area and... as you may understand, as a special services district, we do not have planning powers in the approval for development approval. So people were often asked, why'd you ever let the Woodlands go forward, for instance, or Cypress Ridge, or even Black Lake back in the mid-'80s? And I can assure you that the record's clear that my board raised concerns for the basin in all of those instances. In 1993, the customers of our community services district voted down participation in the state water project. The State Water Project pipeline that ultimately runs to Kachuma runs through the town of Napomo. We sold them an easement across our wastewater plant, but we have no access to it, we've just concluded our fourth formal study of alternatives that we've conducted since 1994. Again, the community voted down state water participation in 93. We've concluded our fourth. It was done by an independent group of citizens. And again, they've concluded that trying to link on directly to state water is not a viable approach for us because of the numerous constraints in getting a direct connection. We also have over a dozen small water companies up on the Mesa in addition to the four major purveyors. And we're forced to do the same type of estimate based on urban development and densities for what type of demand they have. And then it's just the four urban purveyors, the main purveyors, Napomo, Golden State Water Company, Rural Water Company here on the north side, and then finally Woodlands Mutual Water Company, which is set up exclusively for the Woodlands development. We're the only four who report accurate or actually metered numbers for water demand on the Mesa.
The rest is just all by estimate.
Yes, and then... the refinery, Phillips 66, gives us a nice round number every year. It's always the same, so they're steady, but that's what we've got.
Okay, thank you.
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Bright, did you have any questions?
Nothing at this time, thank you.
And I had just one question. I appreciate you explaining to us how your system works, and who then does have the authority to insist that there be enough water before there's further development?
Well, the county does have a resources management system, and they just recently did their biannual review. And that, I guess, theoretically or at least in form, the area, the Napomo Mesa area, is defined as a level severity 3 by the county. And they have some development restrictions in place as far as amending the general plan to add new urban development. That's expressly disallowed unless that development is watered. Their new urban water demand is done by supplemental water. So that has been put in place. Ordinance 3090, I believe, is what it is. It's a county ordinance. So that's the ultimate authority. I know in your recommendation letter that you're considering this evening, It does raise some issues, some concern that the district has lifted a moratorium. After our failed funding vote last spring, the district put in place a moratorium against any processing any new connections for water service to our district. We did indeed, on February 13th of this year, lift that moratorium. We did that with a suspension as opposed to a full repeal, so we could go back if we lose our timeline. But February 13th, we had established a new timeline and authorized a bid to go forward with a supplemental water project. I must point out that we are the only purveyor on the Mesa that did any took any sort of action in the face of that failed funding vote last spring. The Woodlands Mutual Water Company, of course, continued, but working hard with my finance director and our district engineer, and committed to bringing a viable project to my board for authorizing bid here at the end of April.
Thank you. I'm going to then open for public comment. Is there anyone from the public who'd like to come forward and speak on this matter? Okay, seeing none, we'll close public comment and have some discussion. Any comments from the board? Any discussion?
I have a couple of things. Number one, I'd like to consider changing the first paragraph. It reads right now, if you start on the second line, the phased supplemental water project, and outlines why this project is so critically important to the health of the Santa Maria groundwater basin. To me, it sounds a little better if we were to say phased supplemental water project and outlines why the city believes this project is critical to the health of the Santa Maria groundwater basin. I don't know if I'm being a little too picky, but it sounds to me a little bit better. It's the city that believes.
Okay. Any other thoughts or comments from the council?
I agree with the statement. That's good. Mr. LeBurn, I do appreciate you coming. You answered a lot of questions that I had. I think one was the ordinance that NCSD had, and I was kind of curious to wonder why they were lifting it, but I think I understand it's probably part of getting funding for the work that's going on, that it's going to be developer-driven funds.
Yeah, come on forward again. That's
thank you, Councilman Marshall. That's and congratulations. Hard to say. Glenn and I know each other back through our work for public agencies, but exactly to the point, and especially to the future phases 2 and 3, it depends on us having capacity charges and the ability to take on new connections to raise those funds most expediently and get to that full volume development and delivery. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Any other comments? I support what Councilmember Nichols has said also. I think that the Santa Maria groundwater basin is important, but what's more important, really, when it comes right down to it about the basin, is that it provides water for all the other communities also. And I know if this has been going on.
The mayor signed it and forwarded it on.
Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a first and a second, and this one is also a voice vote. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, that one's unanimous. I get to sign the amended letter. Great. The next topic is the appointment of council members to various boards, commissions, and committees, and our city manager, Peralt, is going to cover that for us.
Yes, Madam Mayor, members of the council, as you're well aware, committee selection is generally done. In fact, it began actually in December of last year and is usually completed in January of every year. At that time, the committee reviews the list of assignments and generally, except with a couple of exceptions, come to a consensus on who is to serve on which committees. As we all know, Councilmember Molnar resigned her position in the end of January and left a number of vacancies. Those vacancies are pointed out in the committee list as a part of Attachment 2. And So the purpose of this meeting is largely to discuss filling those vacancies where they exist. We also thought it an opportunity that if a particular council member, for whatever reason, wanted to change their assignment at this point, this may also be an appropriate time to discuss that. In terms of additional council members that have shown an interest in possibly discussing this assignment, Councilmember Lee has indicated he may want to discuss his assignment with the Slo County Sanitation District. And I think that concludes staff's report. I think what's necessary is to then proceed with making those changes to the committee assignments that would ensure that all the committees are full and alternates where necessary.
Thank you. Are there any questions of staff?
Let's dive in.
Oh, well, I'm not going to dive until we open it for public comment. So is there anyone from the public who'd like to comment on the committee selection? Okay, seeing none, we'll bring it back to the council. Okay with your assignments at the moment?
Oh, I am okay with my assignments, absolutely. And where I noted that I would be an alternate, I just figured we needed somebody, so I have very rarely been called upon to be an alternate, very rarely. So most of my colleagues here are very responsible, and they so I don't expect it to be a problem.
Thank you. Were there any other changes to this that any of the council members wanted to make, apart from what we've already got?
Just the discussion for myself is the reason I asked to kind of reopen the sanitation district is my employer being San Luis Obispo County Public Works. I actually have a significant project very close to the sanitation district facility, and so while I would still be interested in knowledge about the sanitation district, it's probably appropriate for me to step down as the alternate, even though, as Councilmember Bright said, very rarely called upon. But if there was a reason to be called upon, I might have to recuse myself on some item, which kind of makes the purpose of the alternate.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's fair enough. I think if we can find someone for whom it's less of a conflict, that's a good thing. I was very appreciative of having you on the council, particularly because of your engineering background. Now you have a colleague with an engineering background who may wish to.
Sure. I can definitely do the first and third Wednesdays at 6, and I have a little bit of sanitation engineering background, so I'd be happy to either be the alternate or the primary, either one.
Okay. Good. Great. Oh, that would be easy for me. Is there the rest of you okay with that? Okay. So we've got Glenn Marshall then replacing Jeff Lee as the alternate on the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District. Now, the other one that's a no-brainer is Zone 3 Advisory Committee, because Glenn is the only one who said he would be the alternate. So I think we can sit with
too.
That one. There's no other suggestion on that one. And I guess we'll just move up the way here. One thing I did do is I made a little tally of how many committees each of us sits on, how many alternates, and if there's any additional. And I have 4 committees, no alternates, except that I get to be mayor, and that's kind of time-consuming. And Karen has 3 committees and 4 alternate positions. Jeff Lee had 3 committees and 1 alternate, and that's now 3 committees and no alternate. And then Mr. Nichols had 2 committees and 1 alternate. And Glenn Marshall, well, we haven't quite got there yet. You've got you got 2 alternates.
Definitely.
So I'll give you 2 alternates there. Let's just keep moving up here and see. So what I'm trying to do is to balance it somewhat evenly as much as we can within our own time parameters. So moving up, then we've got the South County Area Transit. And we had both Karen and Glenn who said they would be willing to be an alternate to Mr. Nichols as the main representative. I mean, Mike.
South I don't know about South County area mm-hmm. transit. I'm mm-hmm. my new position at the county is more oh. or transit transportation oriented.
Okay.
Potentially a conflict, potentially not. So
would
as
you
an
be,
alternate.
Would you be okay?
Or Karen could be the alternate.
Oh.
Or Karen is also willing to do that.
I
so
think
that's...
Karen might be better because actually that does conflict. That's at
right.
3:30 in the afternoon on Wednesday.
Are you okay with that?
Well, because I know okay. that Bill, he always goes, so
right.
I don't
so
have to worry
that's
about
a no-brainer.
Okay,
then.
So there's another no-brainer.
If you can't on vacation, then I'll
okay.
just leave work and go. That's what
okay.
I have to do.
Thank you mm-hmm. for doing that. I know you take vacation time to do
yes.
to do most of this.
Yes.
And then SLOCOG is, we've got our folks there. And then the San Luis Obispo County Water Resources Advisory Committee. Glenn has said he would be happy to be the primary representative there.
Yep.
So that sounds
that's,
good.
Yeah, that's
so
a good
we've
one.
Got Glenn on this one. And SLO VCB, we're covered. And Integrated Waste Management Authority. Jeff Lee is our primary representative. And then we had both Karen Bright and Glenn Marshall willing to do that one.
I'm just throwing my name out there. I'll be happy to do it if no one can do it. That's
works
all
for
I'm
me.
Saying. So
you've got a lot of other. Why don't you give it to me
okay.
as an alternate? Because you already have four others. So I need to pull my own weight, right?
Yes, please. Okay, we've got Glenn. So, Glenn, you now have two alternates and one primary. Is that
okay.
right? Okay.
That's what I see also.
All righty. And then the Homeless Services Oversight Committee, Jeff Lee is our alternate. And Jeff Lee said he would be willing to move into. And then the next one is the Chamber of Commerce. And I know that a lot of us attend those meetings. We attend them whenever we can. So I and because there's no real requirement on the part of the chamber to have a representative, it's something we want to do. I don't know that we need an alternate unless someone would really like to do that. Jeff Lee's got himself down as the alternate. Is it?
Effectively, what I was going to say is I've had troubles getting to various functions during the day. And so I was going to say if someone else wanted to take the lead as primary, I would fall into the alternate position and go when I could. And be available for those. But if someone, and I know one or more of us trying to attend whatever happens with the chamber to support that as much as we can. So that's why I threw myself from the primary to the alternate.
Okay, and that's thank you. That's good to do that. Is there anybody who'd like to take on the primary role there, or shall we just do it as we have done and we go when we can?
I just don't think I can. I
right.
know I can't take that one on. It's generally they're in the morning, and I just cannot. I
right.
can't do it.
There's a lunch, and then there are the mixers.
And
so,
the lunch,
yeah.
I mean, sometimes I can do those, but mm-hmm. I can't do the morning, those morning meetings, and so I just couldn't commit to it. I'm sorry.
And I don't mind putting myself down there because I do go when I can, but I can't commit to being there every time. So.
Maybe between all of us.
Between all of us, yeah. I think we'll
there.
Yeah. Okay. I think we'll just leave that one as it is with Jeff as the alternate, and we'll all make a big effort to be there. I'm looking at the chamber CEO, hoping that's going to work. And so it's not an indication of less commitment on our part. It's an indication of scheduling issues.
Mayor, just for staff's clarity, so the main spot will be vacant with an alternate named?
Either that or we can just make Jeff the representative knowing that he is going to need someone to cover lunch times, which I go to the lunches okay. unless I have another commitment that's overriding. So shall we just, is that okay,
that
Jeff,
works.
If we leave you and then I'll be, and then I can, someone will cover for you that, most of the time.
That works for me, which makes it
okay.
easy to, on the next one, just to scratch my initials off the alternate.
Which one is that?
The APCD, or
APCD.
The Air Pollution Control District.
Okay, right. So that leaves us with Glenn Marshall or, not Glenn, with Karen or Glenn or Bill Nichols.
Where did we end up with the chamber? I'm sorry. So.
Well, we just decided that Glenn's going to still be the representative and that.
Jeff, sorry.
That.
Okay, so Jeff's going to be. Okay.
Yeah.
One of the engineers. Yeah, right.
He's going to be the representative.
Right.
But we don't really have an alternate, so
right.
we'll just leave that as it is. All right.
So what have we got now? I haven't changed anything. Karen, is you haven't changed anything, have you? Or did you get, you took on one more alternate?
I just took on one more alternate.
Okay, so you have five alternates and a mayor pro tem. And then Jeff hasn't, have you changed anything, Jeff?
I went from an alternate to being the representative for the homeless services.
Okay, so you've got four now and no alternates. And Bill has two and one alternate. And Glenn has?
Four alternates and one primary.
Okay. So I'm trying to get this balanced up. So really, Bill and Glenn are the lightest on the schedule.
Well, I can be the alternate on the APCD because I'm in town those days.
And so that's Wednesday morning you get to. Oh no, that was no. Well, we just had that one Wednesday slow cog. Excuse me. Okay, all righty.
You're still primary on the APCD though.
I am. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and it's only six times a year, so
yeah,
it's not.
It should be the problem.
Not so onerous. Is that okay with the two of you? If Glenn does the alternate on the APCD?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just threw my name.
Well,
up
thank
there.
You for doing that. That's
it's fine.
Yeah, you were the most committed on throwing your name at things. Thank you for that.
So
that's why you're
Karen.
The mayor pro tem.
Yeah.
Because you folks are so responsible. That's why.
There you go. It's a love fest. All right. So it looks like we need to have a. Unless there's anything else that I have missed here, we need to have a motion on
Mayor,
that.
Mayor,
yeah.
Would it be all right with the council if we went through these and I'll read them
yeah.
off just
yes.
to make
yeah,
sure
let's,
that
let's make sure
that,
we're
that
right.
We
yeah,
have.
Good
okay.
idea.
And starting
yeah.
at the top with the APCD, it would be the mayor as the primary and Councilor Marshall as the alternate.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
For the audit committee, Mayor Pro Tem Bright would be the primary with no alternate.
Right.
The Chamber of Commerce, Councilmember Lee, without an alternate. The EVC, the mayor would be a primary and the mayor pro tem would be the alternate. Five Cities, Councilmember Nichols would be the primary and mayor pro tem would be the alternate. The Homeless Services Oversight Committee, Councilmember Lee would be the primary with Councilmember Marshall as the alternate. On the Housing Trust Fund, Mayor Pro Tem Bright without an alternate. On the IWMA, Councilmember Lee, the primary, with Councilmember Marshall as the alternate. On the SLO CVCB, Councilmember Lee, again, the primary, with the Mayor Pro Tem Bright as the alternate. On the RAC, Councilmember Marshall as the primary representative, with Mayor Pro Tem Bright as the alternate. On the SLO COG, the mayor would be the primary, and Councilmember Nichols would serve as the alternate. On the SCAT board, Councilmember Nichols would be the primary and Mayor Pro Tem Bright would be the alternate. On the SLO County Sanitation District, the mayor is the primary with Councilmember Marshall serving as the alternate. And lastly, on the Zone 3 Advisory Committee, Mayor Pro Tem Bright would be the primary with Councilmember Marshall as the alternate.
That's what I have.
Me too.
Thank
Great.
You. I appreciate your indulgence
you.
On that, but we want to get it right.
Yeah, better to get it right the first time. All right, so I believe we still need a motion on that now that we all are clear. And
I think we have to adopt the resolution, don't we?
Let me. Oh, there we go. Yeah, there's that new form. Okay. Did you want to do that?
Sure. I'll make a motion that we adopt the resolution confirming the appointments as listed. And authorize the city clerk to amend the FPPC Form 806 for posting on the website.
And I'll second that.
So we have a motion and a second. This one's a roll call vote. City clerk.
Yes.
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 Yes. So that's carried unanimously. The next item on our agenda is the discussion regarding I-12 measure. The Home Rule Charter Measure, and our City Manager Peralt is going to provide us with a report on that.
Yes, Madam Mayor, members of the Council, as you noted, this item is a discussion regarding the I-12 measure, the Home Rule Charter Measure, that in essence, when this item was scheduled in January, I think it was as a means of reviewing the measure that had just gone to the voters, and then to indicate whether the council was interested in pursuing the matter again. In January, the mayor had the item was continued at the request of the mayor. The mayor indicated that what she preferred was to receive some additional information that was pending from the League of California Cities. That information is still a ways off yet, maybe as much as a couple of months based on recent discussion with League representatives. So the mayor asked that we staff agendize this item again. Just by way of background, and the council is very much aware that in July 2012, the council decided to place the measure on the ballot in November. That was also called the Home Rule Charter Measure. And essentially what it would have done is converted the city from what is known as a general law city to a charter city. In the November 2012 election, the measure was very, very close. It was narrowly defeated by only 4 votes. The council first discussed a charter back in March of 2012. Subsequent to that discussion, the council directed staff to begin with a draft of the charter measure, and then the charter was subsequently considered at 3 additional public hearings during which public input was taken, and the charter itself was modified. In July, the council then determined to place the matter before the voters. And again, as I noted, the rationale or the conversion of a general law city to a charter city was considered for a number of reasons. First of all, general law cities derive its authority from powers granted to it by the state. It's almost as if we end up being a sub-jurisdiction, if you will, of the state. We're only authorized to enact laws that the state permits us to do. And in the body of state law then becomes the city's constitution. A charter is a bit different. The council can enact, or a charter is enacted by the voters within the city, and it ultimately becomes the constitution of the city. Now, the way charters are being developed these days, they are being done in such a way as to provide the council more control over what is considered primarily municipal affairs. When a charter measure is set up, if that charter does not address a particular policy or issue, then the state law does not change unless it is in fact included in the charter document. The council took great care in drafting the charter last year, and I think it's important to review some of the primary elements within that charter. And I think a reason that it was pursued was one to establish a greater separation between the state and the city, and to find ways to more efficiently and effectively operate the city. Obviously, with the budget constraints that we're dealing with, we need to think about how we can do things better, and it appeared, at least in the drafting of the measure, that the charter provided the opportunity to do that. Some of the essential elements of the proposed charter at the time was a policy statement that prohibited the reduction of city revenues by another entity, i.e. the state. A policy statement limiting the state's requirement to implement mandates unless properly funded. These were considered to be both policy statements. Obviously, subject to dealing with the state is always difficult. The council opted a residency requirement of 6 months prior to election for individuals seeking municipal elected positions. The council also included a provision changing the title of mayor pro tem to vice mayor. There was also a provision in enabling the city to establish its own contract purchasing and bidding procedures. This was an attempt, again, to provide us with the tools in order to increase the effective and efficiency of our operations. Also a provision enabling the city to exempt itself from prevailing wage requirements for locally funded projects that were not of a statewide concern. It's still important to remember that today, largely, the projects that we're involved with, about 80% of them actually have some sort of state or federal funding. And when state and federal funding are involved, then prevailing wages are still required. I think, in essence, the important part of this particular provision was it provided the council greater control as to how dollars were spent that are locally raised, either through taxes or assessments, et cetera. Also a provision supporting the local purchasing and bidding options, again, ensuring that local businesses are given some sort of preference. A provision supporting that the use of volunteers for local municipal projects, and a provision supporting local economic development efforts. Again, maybe a policy statement, but then in these days and times, that's extremely important, and I think the council reflected that. And a provision providing the city the authority to process any number of general plans amendments in any given year. In drafting the charter at the time, the council was also clear to avoid certain provisions that would have increased council member compensation, change existing municipal election rules or procedures. All of that would remain the same. Change term limits of elected officials as set forth in current municipal law, or change current taxing laws or procedures. In keeping with the state law, the council placed the measure on the ballot. And obviously, if I already mentioned that lost by only four votes. It's interesting, by way of looking back on those results, to note that there were approximately 608 votes that were cast in the overall election, but the measure was not voted on by the 608 individuals. This is an issue that takes a great deal of education. It's and a great deal of discussion among the community to make sure that voters are participate in making such an important decision as this. There are certain options available to the council at this point. The council may want to consider placing the measure on the ballot again. In staff's opinion, unless there's a change at the state level that would improve the relationship between the state and the city, certainly the charter measure would be worth considering. I should note that there is, though, also some pending state legislation in the works that, if it were successful, could limit the charter city's ability to exempt itself from prevailing wage. And that's an issue that definitely is sitting out there and needs to be considered. The first opportunity the council would have to place this before the voters again, should the council desire, would be in June of 2014. Measures such as charters can only be considered during general elections. There's two in 2014. There's the gubernatorial primary in June of that year, and then there will be the gubernatorial and general election in November, which time council members will also be running again. The council, as another additional option, the council could also consider the formation of a charter committee. The committee could include city council representatives, representatives from the business community, and possibly representatives from the representative community, residential community. A charter committee could assist with the review of the existing draft and maybe would be responsible for making changes to that draft and recommendations back to the council that the council could consider prior to placing the measure on the ballot. Council has the following alternatives to consider. You can either provide direction to proceed with a further review of the conversion to a charter form of government. The council could table this further act and not take any further action on this at this time, or provide staff with additional direction. In terms of fiscal impact, I want to be clear that should the council want to move forward, a June measure would be more expensive, and that's largely because there are fewer jurisdictions participating in that election. And jurisdictions that participate in the election proportionately share the costs. So obviously, if the council decided to go in November of 2014, you'd have just about every jurisdiction in the county participating. That tends to hold costs down. There would be additional costs associated if you chose going with the committee, simply because I have not estimated as to what that would be, but if you went that direction, you would have to have staff that would attend those meetings and facilitate the committee in its endeavors. It is recommended the council provide staff direction to proceed with further review of the conversion to a charter city form of government at the appropriate time. That concludes my portion of the staff report. I'm available for questions, and I'm certainly you'll want to dialogue with the general public.
Thank you. That was very, very clear. I appreciate that. Is there are there any questions of staff on the board, Mayor Pro Tem Nichols? Sorry, excuse me. Former Mayor Pro Tem Nichols, you did your service. Mayor Pro Tem Bright?
I do have a question. Thank you. So in reference to SB 7 and I guess any other legislation that might come after that, so you have you become a charter city, and even though you have your charter is written, really the state can pretty much come along and change it at any time.
I think what at least the law is proposed at this point does not prevent a formation of a charter city, does not prevent a charter city from exempting itself from prevailing wages. It simply puts on a greater consequence for those actions. In other words, it would remove the availability of any state funding or federal funding for any other projects should a charter city choose to exempt itself from prevailing wage on the local project.
Okay.
Economic right. Sanctions.
Thank you. That was really my question. Thank you.
So I do have one, and Councilmember Bright's question spurred another question. Do we have a timing on SB 7 when that's going to be heard?
Well, it's moving its way through the committee process, and I know that it's still in the Senate, okay. It has another committee hearing to go before it's actually brought to the floor. At that point, once the Senate has acted on it, obviously it would then go to the Assembly and be reviewed by the Assembly at that point. We should get, as we progress through the legislative year, we'll get a better handle on what kind of progress it's making. And if there's any opposition within the Senate or Assembly itself. Just by way of note, I would think that if it were successful and were signed by the governor, it most likely would be effective January of next year.
Okay. Which then leads as a great segue into my next question, is let's say we do move forward and the city is successful in becoming a charter city after SB 7 is enacted. Let me phrase that differently. Let's say we become a charter city before SB 7 takes effect. Let's say they delay it until 2015 for some reason.
Make a two-year bill or something.
Yeah. Does it, would you anticipate that it would be retroactive?
Well, and the city attorney will probably amplify what I'm about to say, but in essence, as you heard, what it would do is limit those, any city, any charter city, from being able to access state funds if it exempts prevailing wage.
So, okay.
You would be subject to the law.
Okay. So effectively, this would impact any charter city as it currently exists then?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. I just want to make sure I was hearing that correctly. Thank you.
Councilmember Marshall.
Just one question. So the Charter City Toolkit, does staff anticipate this would be a very beneficial package to have out and possibly hold off until it is out?
Well, you know, ultimately the timing as to how much work the council wants to take on is up to you. Mm-hmm. I can tell you that likely it'll be out late spring. I think that it will be a fairly significant toolkit in that it will assist cities in both the advantages as well as the disadvantages, a review of the advantages and disadvantages. So ultimately the councils across the state can make a good decision or improved decision. It doesn't mean that you couldn't start now, but I would certainly would hope that before you concluded the process, you'd probably want to take advantage of that toolkit if it is in fact out in a timely fashion.
So it's almost like the League of Cities would do the work that a committee set up by Grover Beach would do.
Answer to that would be, in terms of a committee, is again, a committee would have local interests, it would seem, at heart. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the league doesn't necessarily play that role.
Okay. Good answer. Thank you.
Okay. No more questions from the council. I'm going to open public communication. And if anyone would like to come forward, please give us your name and your city of residence. And it's 3 minutes. We have, first of all, in fact, I've got two, and then everybody else can come through after that. We've got Walt Mankins from Arroyo Grande.
Good evening, Madam Mayor and Council. Good to see you again. And welcome to the new the members there.
Thank you.
I was just talking with Steve. Aren't you up in San Luis Obispo? Some of the...
I think you need to address questions through the mayor.
Okay, I'm sorry. We'll talk later. Okay. Anyway, on the charter city, we're still adamantly opposed to the charter city if you guys take out the prevailing wage. As we had said before in some of those meetings, you know, we could support it if the prevailing wage, and it's a small amount of work from the city, were to stay intact. We could have supported it, and we could have gone out and educated the voters a positive way instead of educating them to hang on to that prevailing wage. That's why you lost by the 4 votes, because our people were concerned. Their livelihoods, their lifestyles, and everything was going to go down for that. So as the times continue, discussions continue, I certainly want to be a part of that. We'll be a part of that. And hopefully we can come to some positive resolve and which way it goes, hang on to the prevailing wage. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. And then I also have Stephen M. Weiner from Santa Barbara.
Good evening, Mayor, City Council members, staff.
My name is Stephen Weiner, and I'm the Executive Secretary Treasurer of the Tri-County Building Construction Trades Council. As you know, I represent the construction workers that will be doing the work on the projects here in Grover Beach. There's just a couple of points I want to make. As we mentioned, SB 7, I just want to make sure it's clear that if SB 7 does pass, charter cities exempting prevailing wage, they will not be eligible for any state money for any public works projects. And there's a second bill where they'll have it that an election, a ballot measure for a charter city will have to be on the general election. From what I'm hearing, those two bills are likely to pass. As he said, they're going through committee right now. I think SB 7 just came out of the one committee and is moving forward. So I want you to keep that in mind. And again, we would like to, as we said it a year ago, we could support this and help you get this charter going. And as a couple of council members said, the prevailing wage is just a small part of that. So if that was taken on out, we would do everything we possibly can to make this a charter city, and you could do what you your goals are. In the election in November, the charter city was defeated by a majority of voters. I mean, even though it was only four votes, it was the majority of voters, and I was at the recount with Councilman Nichols. We've seen that, so it was definitely four votes, but it was still the majority. The charter city measures weren't only defeated here in Grover Beach. There was three other cities at that time that the charter city was defeated on, mainly because of prevailing wage and public contracting code. If the charter includes prevailing wage and public contracting code, this Building Trades Council would be able to support, and we would campaign for the charter. Without the prevailing wage and public contracting code, including in the Building Trades Council has no choice but to oppose it, and we'll be a little bit better organized on the next time around if it happens. A couple of little things, too. All the pro information you receive on charter cities, exempting prevailing wage and public contracting code, it comes from one source, and it's called the Association of Building Contractors, the ABC. Now, the ABC represents less than a quarter of 1% of all the contractors in California. A quarter of 1%, but they do a large amount of lobbying and political. You may also receive information from a city councilman over in Bakersfield. I can't remember his name right now, but he's the political director for the ABC. Another person that you may be receiving information from is called the Dayton Policy Institute up in Roseville, which is funded by the ABC. And he was a legislative director for the ABC, so they just broke off and started.
I'm going to have to ask you to wind up your 3 minutes.
The last thing in closing, I haven't seen one study that shows that a city can save 20% on construction projects. Not one study, but there's a number of studies that show.
Your 3 minutes are up now. Thank you.
You got it. Thank you.
And I have a speaker request from Leslie Halls from San Luis Obispo.
Good evening, Madam Mayor, members of the council. I live in San Luis Obispo, and boy, this meeting is like a breath of fresh air compared to the ones I go to up there. So thank you. It's a joy to be here. I'm speaking as an individual tonight and kind of a political junkie, but I'm also the executive director of the San Luis Obispo County Builders Exchange and a past president of the San Luis Obispo Property Owners Association, a group in San Luis Obispo. And I'm also kind of a political junkie. I would encourage you to go forward with what the staff has recommended to consider putting this back on the ballot. And I don't think you need to make any changes to it. You've heard some presentations from some folks representing labor unions. At this time, maybe 10 to 12% of the construction workforce belongs to a labor union, which means 88 to 90% is non-union. I have to tell you, on prevailing wages, I have a bit of mixed feelings because I know for many non-union contractors, getting the occasional prevailing wage job is really what helps keep them in business and keep their employees here in a very high-cost area to live. On the other hand, although Mr. Weiner pointed out that there were no studies, generally speaking, prevailing wages drive up the cost of a job about 30%. Now, the city of San Luis Obispo is incorporated. They have these same provisions, yet they do not exercise them. I think the important thing is with being a charter city is it does give you a lot more local control over what you can do because you effectively have your own constitution instead of the constitution of the state. If these bills go through limiting state funding to charter cities regarding this, I am most confident that they would be challenged in court. And I'm not a lawyer, but I slept with one for 17 years. And, you know, I'm sitting here listening. I was married. Thank you. But, you know, I'm sure that this would be challenged in court. Come on. You know, this is litigation in the capital L. And Martin over here, whose last name I can't dare to pronounce, is shaking his head, yes. And I don't think it would be the city of Grover Beach challenging this, but probably a coalition. So I think you should go forward. I mean, you can hear all sorts of dire predictions and that, but you have to ask yourself why cities want to become charter cities. And generally, there's some pretty good reasons behind it. You might also ask yourself, how come no charter cities are wanting to become general cities again? Well, that says something, too. So I don't think you need a committee. I think you all got an excellent presentation from Mr. Perrault. I was sitting here going, oh, yeah, backflips. This guy totally understands it. And, you know, don't waste money on more meetings and stuff. You kind of know where you're going. Let your staff do this. That's what you pay them for. This was a very narrow election. Yeah, it failed by 4 votes. But I'm kind of off put by, you know, threats from outside groups saying we'll support you if you do this or that. It should be up to the citizens of Grover Beach and you folks to make your case to them, and I don't like it when people outside, even me, since I'm not a member here, would come and dare to influence you. But I felt compelled to speak tonight, and I appreciate what you're doing, and I hope you'll go forward. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your comments. Is there anyone else from the public who'd like to come forward?
Please.
Yeah, feel free and give us your name and city of residence.
Yes, I'm Walt French, and I am a citizen of Grover Beach, and I just want to let you know that I appreciate your concerns with fiscal responsibility. It's definitely a tough time for a lot of cities. However, the measures like the SB 7 and measures like that are coming about for a reason, and that's this big trend for cities to become charter cities and not work under the state mandates. And I think it's a concern. And if you are really concerned about fiscal responsibilities here, you'll err on the caution to wait until any of those state legislations come about and see exactly what takes place there. And I don't think it would be prudent at this time to continue with Grover City becoming a charter city. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Anyone else want to come forward? AGB provides a great service.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. First of all, one of the questions I have to ask, Sharon Brown, by the way, address on file. One of the concerns I have, and I think tonight shows that, the major issue we had in the past election regarding Charter City was prevailing wage. And what arguments do we hear tonight? Same thing. So my question is, have we evaluated how we can promote or what we want to change? I have not heard anything that we have evaluated what happened and what can we do about it. So that was number one. The other thing is regarding Senate Bill 7, this afternoon, I once again checked the League of California League of Cities or whatever it's called. And it is not on their hot pick, and it's not one that they're currently watching. And I also went through and read some of the language itself. First of all, it's sponsored by, and it came from outside the legislature without them generating it, by AFL-CIO. I believe the president's name is the signature on that. And I might have that wrong. But the fact that it was not on their hot picks or anything like that, the best I could find out, and this is like 2 weeks ago, that it was in appropriations. It had moved out of one, went to appropriations, and I don't know why it went there, but it did. And so I don't know its status at the moment. The other thing is, in reading the language, and here's one of my questions. It includes any public funds, any public funding. Now, if we spend city money on a city project, is that public funding?
Good questions, thank you.
And it also specifies, I mean, it spells them out in detail, the kinds of projects that are covered. And it's enormous.
I have to ask you to stop now because you're 3 minutes are
yes,
up.
Yes, sorry about that.
That's okay. I've got notes
but
of your questions.
But as you can tell,
we'll
I've been trying
those.
To track this.
Thank you for doing your homework. Is there anyone else who'd like to come forward? Okay, seeing none, we'll close public comment, and let's see if we can look at some of those questions. I don't know, city attorney, do you know the answer to that one? If we spend city money on any project, would that be public money that the state could
No, the funding that it's referenced in SB 7 is any state or federal funding.
Okay.
The money, local money that is allocated to the city, earned in the city and then allocated back to the city by the state is our own funds, and that isn't what is being contemplated by the bill.
They take that in other ways.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And I think another comment made by Mrs. Brown was we haven't talked about what happened and what can we do about it. And there is a reason for that, because the city can only give us a report. They can't do political analysis. So that remains, that's in the purview of the board and in the public speaker. So if the board wishes to, or the council chooses to discuss that this evening, then that can come forward. And I had a couple of questions that I forgot to ask. So if I could, I know that the city of Arroyo Grande has members, they have established a committee, a charter committee. Can you give us a little more information who's on that and why they've done that?
Correct. You may have remembered that Arroyo Grande had actually considered moving forward at the same time we did last year, and then they delayed it from the 2012 election. They have since picked up that discussion again, and they have formed a committee and are, in fact, moving forward. They've entrusted the committee to take a look at drafting a proposed charter. They have a 10-member committee, and it's composed of 5 citizen representatives, one recommended by each council member. They have a representative from the Chamber of Commerce, and rest of the representatives are from programs or committees and organizations that exist within Arroyo Grande. For instance, the Arroyo Grande in Bloom has one representative. The service organizations have one representative. There's one representative from the Village Association. So that's basically how they make up the their other five.
Thank you. And if we did establish a committee, would it be would the Brown Act apply to that?
That it's a special purpose committee. I'll ask the city attorney to answer that question.
I do not believe that that committee would be subject to the Brown Act. It would be formed for a specific purpose for a limited period of time, and under those circumstances, with some very obscure exceptions, and that's why I'm hesitating, it would not be subject to the Brown Act.
And the reason I'm asking is because I know there is some opinion, and there are differences of opinion, I believe, between our city councils in the county, but there's some opinion that if the council establishes an advisory committee, then the council shouldn't sit on that committee because they may exert undue influence. So I wondered where that fits in and if that would be an issue that we should
consider.
It's
not a Brown Act issue. That's okay. A policy issue that the council will need to struggle with.
Oh, great. Yeah, that's our job. Okay, thanks. What are we paying you for?
I can issue my opinion, but it's not going to work.
Easy answers. We want easy answers. Okay. And I believe those were... Oh, also, I know that last year there was a lot of information on our website about the charter. Is the charter and that information still available to the public if they wanted to go to the website?
Yes.
Okay, great. Thank you. And I think that was it. So now we have an opportunity to discuss what we've heard tonight and what we've experienced today. Councilmember Nichols?
I think we should move forward with the committee. I would like very much to recommend we do that. I would also like to comment that I was on the last committee. One of the problems I think we had was we did not organize the committee and get started much before the election, and we didn't really have time to get the word out to the community, the people that live in Grover Beach, so that they understood. And based on the work that we did do, it's my opinion that in the number of people that we did talk to, the residents really did not understand what we were talking about. Most of them really had no idea that there was even a difference and existed two different types of cities. They were totally surprised at that. So I really think our job is to get the word out to the residents if we want to pursue this. I recommend that we do pursue it. I would like very much to be on that committee. I would also like to comment that you've all seen the letter that was submitted by Mr. Lieberman, who also worked with us on that committee. Last year, or at the last election, and I would also like to comment that I was on the committee when we worked on the 0.5% sales tax. Mr. Lieberman was involved in that committee also. I personally believe he does an outstanding job, and I am very pleased to see that he is willing to work on this particular issue if we choose to go forward with it. So it's my personal opinion and strong recommendation that this council approve that we move forward with it. And I would also recommend that we form a committee and we would work coordinate with the city of Rio Grande in their efforts so that we all are on sort of on the same page insofar as trying to accomplish the same goal in becoming a charter city. Not that we would necessarily do everything together or do everything the same way, but at least we know what each other is doing. I think it would make a big difference.
Thank you. Mayor Pro Tem Bright, did you have any discussion?
Well, I do. I think I'll just hold off. I agree. I think I agree right now. I'll just hold off for now.
Okay, sure. Well, Mr. Marshall.
It's also new to me.
Exactly. That's why
I'm
here.
No, it's interesting. I really appreciate the testimony we heard out in the audience and Mr. Nichols. And, Bill, I think I heard you say that you had started the committee last time, but it was only a month before the election.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly how long before.
But thereabouts.
We definitely did not have the time that we should have had.
And you really feel there's a good benefit to that?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. So I definitely am in support of the charter motion and hearing Mr. Nichols speak, I would support the committee as well. And having Mr. Lieberman is just a plus.
Okay. Councilmember Lee.
And I'll kind of concur with what's been said earlier. I did run on a platform of being supportive of the charter city with prevailing wage removed for local projects only. From that perspective, I know Steve and I had some serious conversations and some very good conversations, and I appreciate the opportunity to have done that with him. And yet neither one of us changed our positions of where we were coming from. And as I was walking throughout the campaign, as Mr. Nichols said, the people that I spoke with and were able to bring to light what the charter city was going to benefit for us was, we're very appreciative of that, and then said, oh, now I know what it's about, now I can support it, or they gave me very good reasons why they couldn't support it. So all that being said, it's a long-winded way of saying, I guess I would be in support of a committee to do exactly what Mrs. Brown said, figure out what happened, get our feet on the ground earlier and sooner, and really determine by what the recommendation of that committee coming back would be, how we move forward. And it may be we move forward the same way, we move forward with X, Y, and Z being different, or this is the timing, or this is not the timing. And I think SB 7 coming forward, whenever it does, will only provide additional information for that.
Thank you. Any other comment on that before I comment?
I do have one comment, and it is regarding SB 7. I had written to our representatives and so on, and I did receive information from one, and he said that SB 7 would prohibit a charter city from receiving or using state funds or financial assistance for a construction project if the city has a charter provision or ordinance that authorizes a contractor not to comply with prevailing wage provisions on any public works contract. So if you have that provision in your charter, then so that's what he says.
So if Senate Bill 7 passes, then basically we either go with prevailing wage or we get no money. We're bankrupt.
According to Senator Monning, that's what he had said. That's what he had written to me. Anyway, so I just kind of wanted to throw that out there. I guess so. The other thing that I wanted to say is I do believe that we need to get, I think we do need to get our community involved. I think we do need to have a committee. I think I agree with Bill with that. Because I know from the folks that I talked to when we were in the last election, they didn't know. People didn't understand. And so they really relied on information that they received in the mail, and a lot of that was so untrue that that's all that they really had to rely on. So we really do need to educate the public so that they do know and they get the true facts and not be misrepresented as it was in the last election. So for those reasons, I think that definitely we need to get started early and we need to educate.
Thank you. So I'm thinking maybe we can sum up just a little bit. I'm hearing that Glenn had a question about whether or not we should have a committee, but you're now feeling having...
I'm feeling very comfortable with it, and actually I think it's a beneficial direction to go.
And I support a committee also. And there were some suggestions as to a couple of members of the committee and also as to some of the tasks of the committee. So one of them was what happened. And education. One of the things I think maybe should also be considered, it came up to some extent, is do we, if we were to move forward with a charter, would it be the June election or a November election? Would be something I think the committee could advise on. Mm-hmm. And also, of course, working in tandem with the Arroyo Grande, not necessarily having the same charter, but working with them. Yeah. And was there anything I missed there that anybody wants to add might be the tasks that we would ask of a committee if we were to have one?
Well, tracking SB 7, obviously.
Track SB 7, yeah. Yeah.
Madam Mayor, a couple of things. I would suggest that what you would want this committee to do is to review the draft or the charter measure as it was presented last time,
yes. Mm-hmm.
And make any recommendations as to any changes that they might want to have you consider.
Thank you.
Good.
The other thing I would appreciate in terms of next steps, any direction that you could provide me in terms of, I'm not going to ask you to solve but the committee membership at this point, but size of committee, any representatives you'd like to see on that committee per se. And because what I'll do then is turn around another report that will have the committee so that the number of committee and a selection procedure, that's what you're going to need.
Okay, great. Do any of the council members have any suggestions on that or anything they'd like to bring forward at this point?
I would like to volunteer to organize a committee, and what I would like to do is sit down and talk certainly with the city manager and see what between us and possibly knowing that Mr. Lieberman, having been on this city council, having been the mayor of this community.
Having been a union member, maybe still a union member.
I would bring him into the discussion, and between the three of us, I think we would come back to the council with a recommendation as to how large we want this committee to be, what personnel we want on the committee, what personnel you would recommend in addition to what we have, and any other suggestions that the council has. Certainly the committee will move forward, and all of its work will be brought back to the council for the council's approval and suggestions for recommendations.
That sounds pretty thorough. I support that.
Thank you for volunteering. Yeah. I think
we have City Manager Perrault presenting that one again.
Yes, Madam Mayor, this is just a brief report for you. The League of California Cities Board of Directors has asked that each council or each city consider amending the League of California Cities bylaws. Each city has a vote. Essentially, the amendments that they're seeking is, number one, that resolutions submitted to the League for presentation to the General Assembly must be concurred in by at least five or more cities or by city officials from at least five or more cities. And I think the reason for that is to prevent what we've seen occasionally is a single city will bring forward a resolution. This at least means that there's an opportunity to discuss it among other municipal organizations and get some sort of support before it moves forward. Then the other amendment is that the League Board may take a position on a statewide ballot measure by a two-thirds vote of those directors present. Currently, the board may take positions with a simple majority vote. Simply, what I'm asking the council to do is to make a decision as to how you want, if you're in concurrence with those amendments, and if so, then we will go ahead and file that with the League of California Cities.
Any questions of staff on this one?
Can you refresh my memory? How many members do we have on the board where it says, and I recognize it says of those board members, I'm talking about the second issue. It says where those members, those directors present. I'm curious as to how many directors do we have in how is that made up? Do you know?
Unfortunately, the number, I don't have the specific number, but it's large. It is probably between 30 and 40 members. There are some positions on the board that are simply designated. The officers are voted, I believe, by the membership at large.
Yeah.
And then each of the areas are also made to the board representing various different groups.
Okay. That's pretty
huge.
Much answers my question. We're talking about 30 to 40.
Right.
Approximately. All right. Thank you. That's all.
Any other questions of staff?
None.
Okay. All righty. I'm going to open it to the public. Looks like we have two members left. Is there anyone from the public who'd like to come forward and comment on this item? Okay. Seeing none, we'll bring it back to the council for discussion.
If there's no discussion, I'll move that we adopt the two amendments to the League of California Cities bylaws.
I'll second that if there's no discussion.
So we have a motion, we have a second, and this is a voice vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, carried unanimously. We don't have any pulled consent agenda items. We do have council committee reports next. And where was it we were going to hear discuss Councilmember Marshall's? Oh, that's number city council number 10, city council member items. Okay, right. So going back to the committee reports, Mayor Pro Tem Bright, do you have any?
No.
None for tonight? Okay. And Councilmember Lee?
I do have a couple, one of which was last Wednesday, March 27th, for the Chamber of Commerce. There was a Grover Beach Business Alliance meeting at where there was a discussion and a conversation about a neighborhood watch program for businesses. I was able to participate in some of that discussion, but it sounded like it was very productive before I got there, which is always nice to see. One of the outcomes of that meeting was that several window decals were discussed to show participation in that. And at the next meeting, they're going to be coming forward with some recommendations and as a kind of a method as how to get the business community more involved with each other on that neighborhood watch type of program. So another one of my committees was the Homeless Services Oversight Council, or HSOC, and there was just some general discussion about homeless service projects and an upcoming Slow Veteran Stand Down event on May 18th. And I do have a flyer here if anyone's interested in that. It's basically, in previous years, they did almost like a jobs fair for the veterans. And this is going to take the place of that, and they're calling it the stand down, which is obviously a military term for a place of shelter. And as Councilmember Nichols will probably be able to testify to that. But it sounded like a very good event, and they're looking for volunteers and so forth with that. Lastly, one last committee is Visit San Luis Obispo County. And from paradigm shift from there. Visit San Luis Obispo County. Met last week. There's a couple items coming forward. The tickets for Savor the Central Coast are going on sale May 1st for that already. The event is in September, and those are going to be the most deeply discounted tickets at that point. So if you're interested in getting tickets, that's the best time to do it. And then they're also launching a dog-friendly San Luis Obispo event where your hotel or your bed and breakfast can be either dog-friendly or dog-passionate. And there's a whole subcommittee or subculture out there. Go to dogtrekker.com, and they've got a whole group of folks coming into the county to basically put San Luis Obispo on the dog-friendly map. And just from that perspective, the Holiday Inn Express in Grover Beach is a dog-friendly hotel. And then there was just a recap of the International Film Festival. One of the items that I think may interest Community Development Director Buckingham is a item that's going to be coming forward from that is a way to make film permits consistent among the cities and the county, if possible, so that there can be more interest and more buzz generated locally and easier for film permits to get done so that people can utilize the location from that, and then obviously bring their film crews and so forth and fill our hotel beds.
Mm. What was the date of stand down?
Stand down is May 18th.
18th
at the Slow Vets Hall in San Luis.
Right.
Thank you. It was very informative. Council Member Nichols, do you have anything to report?
No, no meetings.
You're leaving town soon, though. You'll be gone at our next meeting, won't you?
Correct. Yes. One thing, the Fire Authority meeting has been put off until the week after I get back. Myself, plus there are a number of other people going, including the fire chief and so forth. We're leaving Sunday, and the session will run all week. And I am going to take an extra week. I have relatives that live back on the East Coast, so I'm going to take an extra week and stay there. So I won't be back until the following Friday.
So this is, now correct me, this is a FEMA-sponsored, which is Federal Emergency Management
Agency. FEMA is Federal Emergency Management Agency.
Okay.
This is sponsored by the Emergency Management Institute, which has...
Or was it our fire authority who was...
Well, it was, the grant was picked up by the Five Cities Fire Authority, yes. It involves all of the county. There are a total of 73 persons that are going to go back and participate in this exercise. And it's my understanding that what they are going to do, the exercise, is going to consist of a tsunami which hits the coast here in San Luis Obispo County. And
well, so that's quite a coup for the Five Cities Fire Authority, because they've got an amazing grant for the whole, for leadership from the whole county to attend.
That is correct. The gentleman that works on all of the grants for the Five Cities Fire Authority has been through this process before with the Institute. So he's familiar with how they work, and he is the one that applied for this, and it was granted. They're paying for the transportation. We will each individually pay for our own meals while we're back there. So it's a very worthwhile project, I believe.
I think it's a really important
event. The only concern
event.
We have is that we hope we don't have a tsunami while we're all back there working.
We'll handle it. Don't worry about it. We can handle it. All right. We did it once before. I'm next. Air Pollution Control District met on Wednesday, and actually we were very fortunate to have the chair of our, John LaFerrier, the chair of our planning commission, attended that, because there have been some issues with some numbers on some decisions we'll be called to make regarding greenhouse gases. So he did a stand-up job there, and did a great job, and helped find some errors and helped talk about some ways to correct those, which will be helpful for the whole county. And don't know that there was anything else of... there was a study on the pollution control measures that have been taken to date, and North County is improving on their particulate issues. The Eastern County, I believe, is still improving, but we still have some incidences of days which are over the limit. And particulate matter down here in the South County is, I won't say it's still up in the air, well, I did say it. It is still up in the air, and there is still, we don't have enough information yet to have a full report on that. So there were some things brought to the meeting that we may address at a later stage. Question, yes?
A question that, if I might, I think I read in the paper that they're going to be...
bad air days. However, the air, it's not that the air has changed, it's that the way they're, the days in which they're saying perhaps people who are compromised need to be more careful, there will be more of those, but it won't necessarily indicate a downward trend in terms of air quality. And that was part of the discussion that we had at the meeting. There have been a lot of changes over the years. The equipment's changed, some of it's worked, some of it hasn't worked, locations have changed, and so it's really hard to compare apples with apples as to where we are when the goalposts move. So that was one of the conversations, and we may address that again at a later date. But yes, that's right. So if you see that there are more moderate days, it doesn't mean that that it's gotten worse, it just means that the measures are a little tighter.
We have five colors rather than three colors.
We still have the same number, red, blue, and yellow. Green, red, green, and yellow, yeah. Economic Vitality Corporation had a great opportunity to announce there that a number of us will be heading down to Santa Barbara on April 10th in order to work with the, finally, to work with the Coastal Commission on our local coastal plan amendment, and they announced that for us, and we're very supportive of that. And let's see, the SLO Council of Governments meets on Wednesday this week, and the SLO County Sanitation District, we do have some contractors in there who I think are doing an excellent job coming up with some really helpful feedback for us, and we're still really waiting for them to complete their studies. So we'll hear what they have to say at a later stage. I think we'll move into the city council member items now. And I have a few, but let's... or did you have something? Okay. I think we have a few, but let's go to item number 10 first, and then we can address the others. And that would be discussion regarding changing the meeting date for regular city council meetings. And I believe Councilmember Marshall is going to present that to us.
Sure. Thank you, Mayor. Thank you for indulging my spreadsheet and my request just to kind of discuss if Monday is the truly appropriate day to have city council meetings, or if anything else, any other days would be beneficial or even something we could consider. So in the handout that you see that Mr. Peralt sent out to everyone, I kind of listed on the long sheet, I listed all the different committee meetings, a beneficial day for council attendance. He has conflicts on that. And we also have the second and fourth Wednesday would be available, and the second and fourth Thursday. I went on just to take a quick look and see what the other agencies around us are doing, and pretty much everybody meets on Tuesday. The conflicts that we have, I also noted those. We have three holiday conflicts just this year. I just looked at 2013. And if we had moved it to Tuesday, we'd have possibly, well, one conflict, and it might interfere with an election day. Although if you look at the other city councils, they would have election day issues as well. I didn't look at, this is just kind of a preliminary report, and it's mainly just for your consideration. I'm not looking for any action. I just want to know if you woke up on Wednesday or Thursday and said, you know, this might be a better day, a better evening to have a meeting. Or if not, that's fine too. I don't think, I'm just open to any sort of discussion or no action at all, or just think about it for a while.
Thank you. It's actually really helpful to have this information and compare notes.
Actually, one quick question. Yeah. I'm assuming there's copies for the public on the table, so just in case anybody wanted to review that.
Okay. Thanks for checking that. I'd like to ask staff if there are, with the exception of the city attorney's availability, are there other issues associated with this that arise in terms of doing it on different days?
In terms of, obviously, I would not suggest that we meet the same date as an adjoining city, obviously, because oftentimes things have to be covered from one city to another. The other major issue, I guess, with any kind of a meeting change is that there would be some cost involved with making that change initially. I mean, we'd have to go back. You'd first of all have to do it by resolution, I believe. So it would take that kind of an action. And then, you know, there are the website would have to be changed, and a number of other agencies that we keep informed as to when our meetings of discussing issues at the council meeting. Sometimes Mondays makes that a little bit difficult because we receive them generally on Sunday or early Monday morning, and we have just the day to be able to research the information. So having a day or two longer might, another day besides Monday might help us to provide that information to you in a way that might assist your deliberations and discussions.
One other question on that. I'm looking at these, the proposed possible non-conflicting city council meeting options, and we know the first and third Tuesday we would be missing our city attorney, and the second and fourth Wednesdays conflicts with Oceano, so it looks like probably the one with least conflict, although there could be one holiday there this year, would be the second and fourth Thursdays. So if we were to go to a second and fourth Thursday, when then would we get the council packets?
We would still probably get them out early. We've talked about it. Right now they're issued on Thursdays. Most likely they would be issued on Fridays.
So we would still have a weekend to...
You'd have a weekend plus a couple of days to review the information.
Okay. And I kind of jumped the gun here. Are there other questions from other council members?
The first question I have is, why do we want to change it? I haven't heard anybody say why they want to change it. I've only heard that, hey, maybe we ought to change the day that we have a meeting.
Why do we want to change it? Monday just seems inherently a bad day to have a meeting. And it's only because you're coming off of a weekend. For example, this weekend I went to the Valley, and to come back, let's say you had a three-day, typically you have Mondays or holidays as well, but having that weekend, you come back, it's nice to have a little bit of time to kind of reorganize your head, get back into the work week, and get back into the business of the work week. That's probably not a great answer for you, I'm certain. I can see by the look.
Well, you know, it is.
You could go to the Valley any weekend you want. You don't have to go to the Valley the weekend prior to the city council meeting.
Sometimes I do.
Okay, I was just curious.
Why? Yeah, just inherently a Monday meeting.
Or I can cook dinner instead.
Yeah, exactly.
You can go to the Valley.
I do go to the Valley, and yesterday when I was in the Valley over Easter, I was reading.
Yes. It was a beautiful day in the Valley.
It was a beautiful day in the Valley.
It was absolutely
gorgeous. Fabulous. You should have gone to the Valley, Bill.
I have to try it.
Are there any other questions?
I do have one question, and I spent a beautiful day in Grover Beach yesterday. So just my only question, actually, and I don't know if it's an answerable question, but what would it do to our AGP video personnel?
Oh, good question.
I can answer that.
Okay.
I've already checked with AGP to find out if it would create a problem. It would create a problem if we tried to change it to a Tuesday.
Okay.
Otherwise, no. And they do appreciate the fact that we have taken that into consideration.
So they're in cahoots with the city attorney. Okay. I'm going to open this to the public to see if any of the members of the public have an opinion about when we should meet. And it looks like Sharon has a thought, so we'll open it for public comment. Yes. Stay there, Sharon, and we'll bring you a microphone. We may also and we may also need to consult with the Queen of Grover Beach.
Yes,
thank you, Your Honor.
Really tough. Okay.
Yes.
Good job.
You're doing really great.
As a member of the public who comes here and also follows the agenda at home, I do my homework on the weekend. That's when I am doing my review. And I think it's really important. Yes, it's true. We don't have the public here a lot. But to maintain consistency, and I like the Monday. Don't change it.
It ain't broke. Thank you.
That's right, it ain't broke.
Is there anyone else from the public who'd like to speak? The Queen of Grover Beach.
I will walk up the pool. See, got to get my exercise. If I don't stay busy, I'm in trouble, okay? That's the only reason. And Monday's a good day because Gage has time off from school. So I can run around and do it all day. I get up at 7 o'clock, and I've been out at it all day long. It's a task. I mean,
the task is...
Monday's a good day for
me. Mondays. Okay. Thank
but
you.
But Jeff, call me Jeff. I'm doing a commentary.
You have to come talk to Jeff at the beginning of the next meeting.
I didn't have enough time.
That's true.
I didn't have time.
Thank you very much, Edie. All right. Okay. I guess this is a receive and file in the circular.
Receive and file. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks, everybody. So I guess we've had a discussion. It doesn't sound like we have any huge – is there consensus? Does anybody feel like it would be
– I've become accustomed to it, but I do whenever I go away and I have a meeting – this comes with me.
Mm-hmm.
And on Sunday, it's with me. I do my final review. And so, yeah, Mondays are tough, but I've become accustomed to it. Okay. So,
She even takes it out to the band concerts.
I know. I've seen her there. Yeah. I've started doing that, too. Well, I think we don't have any urgent sense.
That's fine.
But it's been a helpful conversation, and I think that just because we've always done it that way doesn't mean we shouldn't look at other alternatives. So thank you for...
Sure, my pleasure.
You hit the ground running there.
So, yeah. Mayor, just from the staff's perspective, mm-hmm. we'll wait from any direction from the council.
If there is
any in the future, let us know and we can re-agendize it and have a more discussion, or if nothing happens, then we will not be concerned with it.
All righty. That sounds good.
I think it died.
So if two of us wake up Wednesday morning and go, hey, this would be a good day to have a meeting.
Yeah, we'll sleep on it. Okay. And are there any other council communications or council member items? Council member items, I suppose. And then we'll go to council member communications. Okay. How about council member communications?
I do have two.
Yeah. Council member Lee.
I did meet, as Mr. Weishong did mention, I did actually spoke with him Saturday morning with regards to his concerns about his water meter. I suggested we kind of went back and forth with our discussion with regards to a couple different approaches that he could take that didn't involve city staff. Because I know city staff has spent a lot of time and effort to try and address his concerns and I spoke with him about this is I don't know the level really of what he's asking for. And I know he says that the water meter's low, but I'll continue that just to see if anything new comes of it.
Thank you for that.
May I make a comment? I would be very cautious. Mm-hmm. You're getting to the point, it appears to me, you're getting to the point where you're dealing with a citizen about a complaint he has, talking about bringing it to the council. I think that's the city management responsibility.
I'm
just concerned about
And I appreciate that. And I shouldn't have said that I was going to bring it back to the council. No, the information, if he gives me any, I was going to provide it to staff. To see if there's anything new. From the discussion that I had with him, it doesn't sound like he's provided anything to the city that really justifies why he feels he said it over and over at public comment, but he hasn't provided proof as to why he thinks that X should
maybe
be Y.
Maybe I can shed a little bit of light on the subject. He has acquired the services of a local attorney who has contacted me, and basically I think the bottom line is he doesn't trust the test on the meter that was done.
Right.
He thinks that, you know, and usually meters when they actually run in favor of the customer if they're bad, they continue to attempt to have at our expense have the meter sent out and with staff work and tested at the place of their choice, and that's where we are.
And that's why I suggested several different approaches that don't involve city staff. In order to, so that he can effectively get a third party that he pays for to provide information back to the city on that. But I appreciate Councilmember Nichols kind of counseling me on that.
And again, the him going to somebody who then sends us a letter and says that the meter is bad is not going to necessarily affect how we react to the situation.
And I didn't represent that it would.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. And did you have another?
Just had one other comment. There was several members of the public that came forward for V-Day, Five Cities. And I just wanted to say I'm proud of them for doing that and also encourage everyone to participate in that program because it is being held in Grover Beach this year. It's been in other areas in past years. And the Trouville Center in the city is going to be a great opportunity for that to come forward. And I know it's always a worthwhile cause to benefit SARP. And if you've never seen the Vagina Monologues or A Memory of Monologue, A Rant and a Prayer.
I was at the skate park official opening on Saturday, and there were a lot of people from the South County, including Eco Slow, who have done vast quantities of work there. So that was really nice. A lot of happy kids on their skateboards. And finally, the Hotel and Conference Center Committee has been working hours and hours and hours and hours every week, and will continue to do so for the next couple of weeks until we go down to the Coastal Commission meeting in Santa Barbara on the 10th of April. So I just wanted to give you an update
on the
11th.
Just for
what's that?
It's on the 11th.
Oh, excuse me. Thank you. It is, yeah. they're starting on the 10th, but we're there on the 11th, Thursday the 11th. Thank you. We want to get there on the right day. And were there any city manager reports? Any other council reports? No? City manager?
Just briefly, city attorney has been very helpful in the question as to how many directors the board has. He's going to ask me to try and read this, and I can't. But it is 48 members plus other designees.
It's 50 plus any California city official serving on the National League of Cities Board of Directors.
So that's
so
the
it's
League
50
of
plus.
50 plus.
Thank you.
Very accurate answer.
Legal deficiency, yes.
Well, city attorney, do you have anything else to say?
I'll defer to the city manager. Thank you.
Okay, but we do have a closed session that you'll announce.
Right. Certainly. I have a couple
sorry,
of
you
other
have another
things.
One first.
First of all, relative to the Coastal Commission hearing, that is Thursday the 11th, as has been mentioned, at 1 p.m., it'll be at the El Capitan Resort. It's not all the way down in Santa Barbara.
It's near Gaviota.
It's actually just south of Gaviota. And I wanted to let you know that we've received the staff report for that meeting, and I'll be sending it out to council members so you can have a chance to take a look at that in advance. Also, by way of clarification, one other item that Mr. Weisong brought up was the issue of the City Hall being closed. I just want to indicate, especially for those that may be out there listening, that we're not alone in terms of our approach to furloughs. There are several cities throughout the state of California that are doing the same thing, including the city of Santa Maria, the city of Santa Barbara, cities of all types and sizes. That's the end of my report.
And could you also just confirm how many furlough days we have? It's not every week, not even
we
every
have,
other week.
We have 16 this okay. year. It was 16.
Okay,
and,
thank
and
you.
And the statement of somebody standing in front of our door in mass and not knowing why it's closed is just simply not consistent with reality because, A, we advertise the all of the furlough days. B, there are large signs on the doors posted both stating what days were closed and why we're closed.
So people can find that on the website, mm-hmm. on the door, and on our Channel 20 charter broadcast, I believe they...
Yes.
They're listed there also. Okay. And then in that case, then, I'll ask the city attorney to tell us about our closed session.
Thank you. It is the intent of the city council to meet in closed session on one item, and that is potential litigation, one case.
Okay. So we will recess to closed session, and we'll report back when we're finished.